It's time for Radio Cals, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we'll share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, interviews with some of your favorite musical artists on Arkansas Sounds, content from the Butler Center's collections, information about what's happening in the library system, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocals@cals.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the Cals Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about Radio Cals, including links to resources mentioned in our segments, please visit the Butler Center's blog at butlercenter.org. More than 300 events, including story times, film screenings, book sales, concerts, lectures, and more, are happening at Cals. Pick up the Spring Programming Guide at any Cals branch or visit cals.org to view our full calendar of events. It's all here.
It's time for Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals. That's Rex Nelson, who's head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and who writes the food blog Southern Fried, and Paul Austin, who's executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council, talking about Arkansas food, festivals, and folks.
Rex, let's chew the fat, shall we?
It's time to chew the fat. I'm Rex.
I'm Paul.
Yeah, let's start chewing. Boy,
did you chewed this weekend.
Chew over the weekend, of course. You've covered these routes with me, but it was what I call my Delta Food Tour, where we do the three Delta food groups, which are barbecue, catfish, and tamales, all in the same day. But had a guy, he grew up in Arkansas, but he grew up down, he's a couple of years older than I am, but he's from Arkadelphia also, and spent most of his time down in southwest Arkansas, and said he never had spent any real time in the eastern half of our state at all. So it was eye-opening, but he lives in Houston and has for many years now, and flew all the way in from Houston, Texas.
Well, the pressure was on
this trip. Yeah. Yeah, so we pulled out of Little Rock about 8 a.m. and made what's always, as you know, my first stop on those, and that is at the IGA store in Bisco.
Yes.
Had to have my sausage biscuit there and my cup of coffee.
God forbid we wouldn't get enough to eat that day. Yeah,
that is a great country store, though, you got to admit.
IGA, it used to
be. Absolutely. They were enjoying it, too, because they had some I think they had some pig's feet on sale and some chicken neck on sale.
Perfect.
Had the signs out.
Yeah.
But great store. And started there, and then we made our way over to Marianna, of course, to that Arkansas, that American classic, not
yes.
just Arkansas classic,
right.
American
right.
classic, is declared by the James Beard Foundation, Jones Barbecue Diner. And I'm always afraid that close sign's going to be up, even though we pulled in slightly after 10 a.m., so we had called, or I had called in advance, Kim Williams, who writes stories about the Arkansas Delta for the State Department of Parks and Tourism.
Yeah, right.
And Kim's father happens to be the mayor. Well, knowing that out-of-state visitors were coming, not only was the mayor of Marianna there to greet us, he had a marked police car, I do not make this up, on the other side of the street to watch over us there.
There wasn't a parade or anything.
I guess if we had asked the guy for police escort out of town, we could have had a little parade.
Well, the boys from Houston must have been impressed.
Yeah, very impressed.
You did get some barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mr. Jones still had barbecue. They had told him the day before that we were coming. There were three of us in all, and we all had a barbecue sandwich. But, Paul, it is a historic moment. Mr. Jones has added an item to the menu.
What?
Used to just be the pork sandwiches.
Right, yeah.
He has added hot sausage links.
No kidding.
To the menu, and Kim insisted that we eat one of those. So, of course, we had two sandwiches then. We had to have a barbecue pork sandwich, and then we had to have a hot link sandwich. And you've got to get back over to Jones and have both, because the hot links were good.
grilled
very good. Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Sliced down the middle. He serves them just on the regular white bread, just like he does the sandwiches. And you get it with slaw, just course. Like you would the pork sandwiches also.
Sounds delicious.
With his sauce on it. Oh, it was wonderful.
Now, did he talk about him now in the Hall of Fame at all?
Well, his wife was there, and you remember she made it over dressed up, and when we put them into the Arkansas Food Hall of Fame, and I said, why couldn't you get Mr. Harold over? And she said, oh, he wouldn't leave the restaurant. And he looks at me, and he said, I had this to do, and point to his big tub of barbecue. So he was smoking meat. He was not going to come over. Yeah, that was one of his smoking days.
Yeah.
And even though he was being inducted into the Arkansas Food Hall of Fame, he wasn't coming over. But as a fellow member of the selection committee of the Arkansas Food Hall of Fame, you will be glad to know that not only does he have his plate, you know, we gave blue plates to the winners inside, but he has his Food Hall of Fame sticker on the window now.
No kidding.
So the Arkansas Food Hall of Fame window sticker is on the window of Jones's Barbecue.
You know, one of the things we might need to do before we – too much time passes and we forget about it. We probably should send headshots of all of us on the committee to all of the restaurants that were inducted.
So we get a free deal?
Free deal. At least they'll recognize us when they come in
and
maybe get extra special.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get Director Hirsch to work on that for us.
Well, the mayor actually treated us, which was quite a deal that day.
That's good.
Now, I knew he must be the mayor because he was probably other than the pastors doing Saturday funerals. He was the only one with a tie on in Marianna on that day.
Saturday morning. Yeah,
he had his tie on a Saturday morning even. So he was fully decked out, but great stop. Great stop.
So that was 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that was at 10 in the morning. Two sandwiches already under our belt. And to leave just a little bit of time to digest, I took them over to that great visitor center in Mississippi River State Park where you can learn the history of the Delta and the history of Crowley's Ridge. But still, by a little after 11, we were down Highway 1 and we were at Cypress Corner having our third sandwich of the day. Had two at Jones and then had one at Cypress Corner.
And I'm assuming you completed all the eating?
I did complete the sandwiches. Right. And, you know, Cypress Corner is between, again, Marianna and to where Highway 1 intersects there at Barton High School with U.S. 49, but you'd really have to be looking for it. I mean, there's not any big sign out there for it, nothing advertising. It's an old country store that they originally cleaned out, put in tables, and the way you say it, we took noted Arkansas historian Mark Chris in there, and you said he was just back in there recently.
There
loves
week.
The place, doesn't it? Anytime he's close now, right?
People are starting to talk about Cypress Corner. It's really good barbecue.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles from the intersection, maybe more. It's at Lexa, really.
Or right in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's between Marianna and Walnut Corner is actually where 49 and 1 meet. Yeah.
So maybe it's taking the place of Shaddon's now that we've lost Shaddon's.
Exactly. So we hit it hard early. This is before noon. Not only had we had, by this point, three sandwiches, but then, of course, it was a Saturday. So Joe St. Columbia's tamale wagon was open on the way into Helena.
Which are big tamales,
And we had three big tamales each. This was all before noon. Three sandwiches and three tamales.
Before lunch.
Before lunch.
Oh my God.
Of course, Joe was glad to see us, and he took great delight in giving the entire history to of his Sicilian grandfather coming there and keeping it in the family through the years, and very good tamales. So that was all before noon. We had already eaten all of that.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, and Joe, of course, we need to mention, was one of our 12 finalists, too.
He was, He sure was.
For a restaurant, and there's no doubt in my mind Pasquale's will be a future inductee in the next few years.
Yeah.
But, you know, Joe has slowed down a little bit, and so he only serves 2 days a week now. So you've got to be going in on a Friday or a Saturday to get tamales now. Yeah.
And probably not open all day Saturday, I suspect.
He does. He did say that I think it's the K-Hall grocery store in downtown Helena, which is a really neat little place, does have the tamales if you want to just buy them frozen and by the dozen to go on a day when he's not open. And he said someplace over in Memphis was carrying them, too. Hmm. And I told him we need to get them into Little Rock.
We sure do.
Yeah.
I remember when they shipped them in cans.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time ago, but it was a bigger operation then for sure.
And I finally asked him, and he's already making and freezing. He said he does has to do it months in advance for the King Biscuit Blues Festival because he sets his stand up down there for 3 days. He said he usually sells about 2,000 dozen tamales during those 3 days for that event for King
That's
Biscuit.
A lot of tamales.
That is a lot of tamales. I'll say that again, 2,000 dozen. Yeah. So he sells them by the dozens. And
That's October usually, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always in October. Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. So they staff up and get a lot of tamales ready for that part.
Probably makes
the year
their year right there.
Yeah. And then I took them into Helena, and the steamboat was stopping again on Sunday.
Really?
So they were cleaning up downtown. This was on a Saturday, right. So they were getting ready. But so good to see all those steamboats making regular stops there. Now.
I mean, it could be a real game changer, I think. Because there's several new restaurants that we haven't tried in downtown Helena and Cherry Street.
Southward and it's there on Cherry Street.
Really supposed to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a posting the other day that someone had gone to one of the new ones there, and it had local artwork on the wall for sale and really trying to be exciting and on Cherry Street in Helena.
Mm-hmm. So my boys, you know, they enjoyed that till noon, and then they unfortunately stated to me that they wanted to slow down a little bit. So
well, that's very disappointing.
You know, I was going to hit Hicks Tamales and Abe's Barbecue and Clarksdale. And they love seeing Clarksdale, Mississippi, but they took a pass on eating there, believe it or not.
That sounds familiar. I'm familiar with that feeling.
I said, look, you bought this thing at auction. I'm the one that donated. I'm buying, you know, so I'm happy to buy you food, but I'm not going to force it down you if you're not going to eat. So they didn't even meet in Clarksdale.
So you did drive them over there, but
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You didn't go ahead and eat one as well, or did you not?
No,
since
they weren't eating, I didn't partake this time around, but I plan on getting you on a future Delta excursion, and we will do so. We've got to make soon. It'll be time for our annual trip to Greenwood.
Yes.
Of course, we start with breakfast there in Clarksdale.
Right. Let's let it get a little hotter so we can have a good sweating experience in the
exactly.
Delta.
Make a true, hot Delta experience.
That's exactly right.
While we're out there on the Money Road looking at Robert Johnson's grave.
Yeah. You know, I think this time we need to leave some kind of a empty whiskey bottle or a full one.
People do.
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, maybe we do this time.
So did you? Then you just headed back. Was that the end of your eating
adventures? Well, we ate on the way back. They did have the hunger hit by late afternoon. We'd gone up on and showed them Battery C.
Oh yeah, which is wonderful.
Oh, great interpretation and what a view. That's a place where because the trees have been cleared, it's just kudzu on those hills. So that is a place where you really can get the feel for just how high Crowley's Ridge is in spots as you look down on downtown Helena,
really
look down on the Mississippi River.
And get a real sense of the battlefield itself.
Oh, absolutely.
Particularly in the winter when the leaves aren't out
yet. Absolutely. So I took them up on Battery C, and then I took them over to Confederate Cemetery pay homage to General Claiborne. So we went up on the hill. And
the six generals, or is it seven generals?
Seven
generals,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So we made it back through the back through Confederate Cemetery. They were having a parade downtown, actually. So part of the road was closed off, and Bubba Sullivan was not in Bubba's Blues Corner, so we did not get to visit with Bubba.
Yeah.
But then we made our way on over to Clarksdale and went to Cathead, which you know is one of them. And, of course, I bought a book there.
Well, of course,
had to sneak it by my wife coming back in.
One, that's not bad, yeah.
Yeah, I know. But it's a big coffee table size book that was published, I guess, 2 years ago with mainly photos of the King Biscuit Blues Festival. Have you ever seen it?
Not,
oh, it's wonderful.
I've not seen that.
Had to add that to my Delta collection. So went in Cathead, and then we walked down. They wanted to go in Ground Zero, which is Morgan Freeman's club,
right?
Too. So we went in Ground Zero and did downtown Clarksdale. But, You know, again, they have the same affliction you do. They're not keeping up with me
just
on the
can't
eating.
Can't do it. Yeah, it's very disappointing.
But they would not eat in Clarkstown.
I wish I'd gone now. I could have held my head high. I'll at least order the food.
Yeah, exactly. No, they wouldn't even order. They said, no, we don't want anything.
You're listening to Radio Cows on KABF 88.3 FM, Little Rock.
We're still full from the three sandwiches and the three big tamales.
Before lunch, yeah. That is a lot.
But, coming back, first of all, we had to take them to the Louisiana Purchase Monument, mm-hmm. walk down the boardwalk into the swamp.
See any snakes?
Didn't see any snakes, but get this, Paul, with all of the publicity we've been giving that place for the last couple of years now, I think maybe we can claim credit. There were three other cars there.
So
normally there's nobody else out there.
Kind of creepy,
so
actually.
Yeah, it is.
No kidding.
Yeah, every time we've all gone, there's been nobody else there.
Nobody, no.
There were three other cars all there. Kids and families walking down the boardwalk.
I don't think it was you. It was someone I was with, and we thought we were driving down. Let's go down to that monument. And we pulled into the parking lot. We were listening to the local radio, and they said, now, there's been an old boy escaped from the prison. And we don't, you know. I don't think I want to walk down this thing.
Yeah, I don't think I'll go down because when it's just you, wow, it is quiet in that swamp.
It really is, yeah.
But, you know, they got tickled. I showed them my favorite part because you've got the great interpretive signage that the Parks and Tourism Department did out to the monument. Now, this was the monument to back up that was placed in the 1920s by, I guess it was the Daughters of the American Revolution over at Mariana Chapter, right. Had placed it there. The point where the surveys for the entire Louisiana Purchase began.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you're going to make a bold claim, just come right out and make it. And so I showed them my favorite sentence on those interpretive signs that says, this is where the West began. You heard the line, where the West began.
Yeah,
well,
right
it
here.
Couldn't have been settled. Yeah. It couldn't have been, land couldn't have been sold. Land couldn't have been deeded had it been platted. And all of that started in a swamp. Between Brinkley and Marvel.
And, you know, Rex, someone has filmed, and it may have been Trey Berry's film about the
Hunter Dunbar expedition.
Dunbar, but an engineering firm from Little Rock sort of recreated their efforts. And, I mean, they were wading out through the swamp.
Oh, yeah, John P. Gill, the Little Rock lawyer, was involved in that.
So I think it was that film, wasn't it?
Uh-huh,
it showed
them,
which is pretty remarkable, actually, that
yeah.
it's there. But that's Baseline Road.
Oh, absolutely. If you go due west of that spot, you hit Baseline Road just south of Little Rock.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is an amazing place. I think, truly, if you had, I mean, as historic as Little Rock Central High is with what happened in 1957, as historic as the old State House is with, you know, the old history, when not only when it was a state capitol, but later on when Bill Clinton stood there on election night in both 92 and 96, and I could go on and on. But if you look at American history and Arkansas's place in it, I'm really not so sure that's not the most historic spot in Arkansas.
You know, Rex,
right there, because that's where the surveys began for all of the American West.
You've often heard me say that all roads lead to Imboden. You know, I'm from Imboden. I don't know if you knew that.
Boy, we're deep into the show today.
But you could say all roads
off
start.
Your game, Paul.
You could say all roads start there, which is about right.
Yeah. All roads start in that headwater swamp. Yeah. Absolutely. And I was glad to see some other cars there and other people appreciating it. Now, as we looked out on that old water, green water with moss on top and that swamp and Tupelo gum trees and cypress trees. I told you my favorite line on the interpretive signs is this is where the West began. My second favorite is alligators have been spotted in this swamp. Please stay on the boardwalk. I thought, do they really have to say that? Is there anybody that's really going to wade off in that water down
no
there?
No kidding, because it does not look inviting.
No, it does not look inviting.
Not
it looks
all.
Snaky is
it
what
looks
it looks snaky. Like.
Yeah. Very swampy and gatory.
Yeah. That's right up there with the coffee may be hot, you know, that they have to put on cups now. It goes without saying, but they, I guess, cover yourself liability-wise. Well, we had a warning, and he still went out there, and the alligator ate his right leg off.
And, Rex, you can get there an hour and a half from Little Rock.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah, easily.
Yep.
And then you can either go to Cypress Corners or Jones's.
Yeah.
Early if you want Jones's.
Yeah, yeah. You better eat at Jones's first and then come back.
Yeah.
And so on the way back, we had had two of our food groups. We had had barbecue and we had had the tamales, obviously. So we had to do the fish. So we stopped at Murray's near Hazen, went back to the kitchen, hollered at Stanley Young, and of course, food started coming out at that point. You know how that works.
I know how that works.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So onion rings came out, which you and I have declared the best onion rings in the state
best
of Arkansas.
Best in the state, I think. No doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then frog legs came out.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we'd ordered catfish. So those boys kind of waddled out of there with all they could eat, catfish and frog legs. So they had had a true Delta experience that day.
That could have been a sleep-inducing
drive. Pork barbecue,
hot
links, tamales, frog legs and catfish.
That's Arkansas.
Yeah,
that's the food. The food groups all seriously involved with grease, which I think is what's important.
Exactly. And we were back at 8 p.m., so it was a 12-hour day.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah,
they got their money's worth.
Left at 8 a.m.
Now that was an auction fundraiser for the
Southern Food and Beverage Museum, which is down at New Orleans, and I'm one of the Arkansas representatives on their board, and. If you're in New Orleans, it's in Central City, and it's well worth getting in a cab and taking over. If you're interested in Southern culture at all, it's focused, obviously, on the food culture. But for certain people, it is also part of the Museum of the American Cocktail. Is connected to the same museum, so you can go there also.
Rex.
And where else but New Orleans is the Museum of the American Cocktail going to be, right?
I'm beginning to get a sense out there just from what I see and feel in the community, at the larger community, that there's a movement to do something about Arkansas's lack of representation on that board. I understand there are now two members from Arkansas on that board.
And there
seems to be
a
sense that there needs at least to be one more.
Oh.
Just, you know, the people need to be served, Rex. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
So you can be invited when Dickie Brennan comes up to the Duck Club next week.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Don't really care about the people.
About
I want to eat.
Show. Yeah.
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 Well, that sounded like a great trip.
A long day of eating. Now you were busy on Saturday.
Well, you invited me to join, and I wish I could have.
We had room for you. We could have handled a fourth.
I had Imboden obligations.
What was happening in Imboden?
The Friends of the Library Pancake Breakfast.
This sounds like a big deal.
Annual fundraiser that they have, and my mother's been involved in it forever. She's told me that it's the only event that she's been involved with that people will stop her on the street and in the sidewalk at the store and give her a check. Couldn't make the pancake breakfast, but here's a check. But they, Jan and I got up early. We left Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
We wanted to get up early to get to Imboden. And that evening, Mother said, we need to drive up to Mammoth Spring, not Springs.
I've corrected your spouse.
My wife got it wrong.
Springs with an S.
Exactly.
On, but there's only one big
spring.
Corrected her Facebook posting.
So Mother wanted to drive up through Hardy and see the Dogwoods and eat it at Mammoth Springs. And I thought, we'll eat at Riverbend, which is a beautiful restaurant
on the
river.
Good restaurant, yeah.
But I've eaten there a lot with Mother. She likes to eat there a lot. But Roger, my brother-in-law, said, no, we're going to a German restaurant. And I said, really? And Mammoth Springs said, oh, yeah. So we went to a place called La Pastorella, there's an older couple, and I do mean older, that run this thing. They've been there 12 years. And as the lady pointed out,
sounds more French than German.
I know. She pointed out, this is not German. This is Bavarian. I'm Bavarian, she said. And I think she's from Bavaria and married this guy when he was in the army in Germany. And this thing was just fantastic. They had the evening meal was, had like three different schnitzels, wiener and paprika and something else. And had another all handwritten menu on the chalkboard with six or eight items. And he said, now those are left over from lunch, so we don't have everything. But it was kind of interesting, kind of like the food Nazi, in the old Seinfeld episode. Our nephew, Corbin, decided that he would get the pulled pork Bavarian style with sauerkraut. He said, well, I'll have that sandwich, but could you leave off the sauerkraut? No. There are no changes to the orders. You have to eat it the way we make it or not at all. No sides, no changes, no substitutions. Yes, sir. And so we all got a little nervous, and he asked me what I wanted to drink. I said, well, I'd have a Diet Coke. No diet. We have nothing diet here. So I got the sweet tea. Well, it came in a bottle, and the Cokes came in the can, so they don't do any preparing of the glasses for you. And all of the seats in this place, I guess there were maybe six tables. Two or three of them were big enough, were six. The others were two and three. And some guys came in right after we got there, and they'd obviously made their plans. They belonged to a big trout fishing club out of Memphis. Uh-huh. They have a lodge there.
Oh, okay.
And they brought their own wine in, and their meals came right out. They had ordered
it in advance.
And so ours took a while, but it appears to be the son was helping in the kitchen.
I have just called up on my phone as we speak some of the TripAdvisor reviews. First time visit won't be my last. My brother and I met there for lunch, and the food was wonderful. Even though the food was good, the owners made it an even better experience. They were very friendly. Next review, we shall return. What a jewel. My brother and I were meeting in Mammoth Spring for lunch, and we visited this restaurant. We walked in and said, ah, the brothers. Next one, motorcyclist just stopped for lunch. My wife, friend, and I stopped in for some lunch during our day's ride. What a lunch. Everything is homemade, actually plated for appeal. Well, I've got to go to this place.
Yeah, they make it, you know, it's hot, and it takes a while because they cook it as you order it. I mean, this schnitzel was, you didn't even need a knife, Rex. You cut it with a fork. It was fantastic.
Hmm.
And we had a salad that had potatoes, sliced potatoes on the salad. The dessert was this beautiful chocolate tort that...
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio Cals. That's Rex Nelson, head of corporate communications for Simmons Bank and writer of the food blog Southern Fried. And Paul Austin, executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council. To hear this and other great Chewing the Fat episodes in their entirety, subscribe to the Chewing the Fat podcast at cals.org/podcasts.
Want to know what's happening in the world of cows? The new programming guide will help you navigate the variety of youth and adult programs, book clubs, movies, and more across Cows' 14 branches, the Ron Robinson Theater, the Butler Center, and River Market Books and Gifts. Look for the programming guide in a branch near you or visit cows.org. Radio Cows is a production of the Central Arkansas Library System and its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies. For more information, visit cows.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley, and our production manager is Brett Ratliff. Voices by Jasmine Job and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Brett Ratliff, Michael Stotts, and Anna Lancaster. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week Wednesday at 6 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 Little Rock.